Let us all say amen. Indeed, amen. Jesus paid the price,
yes, sir,
that you and I don't have to pay that sin price.
Amen.
And because he paid it all, that ought to motivate us. That ought to drive us. That ought to move us to try our very, very best,
yeah,
to serve him.
Yeah.
That means that there are some things we ought to do in our everyday life that reflect that he bore it all.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be seasoned again? It is then good for nothing to be trodden, cast out and trodden under the feet of the men. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, a light that sets on a hill that cannot be hid. And so if Jesus bore it all, that means that you and I, church, ought to pick up our cross and do what he commands us to do in our everyday life. We got about 21 days to this year is going to be history. And I don't know about you. I don't know if I will see 2017. I pray that I do, but if I don't, don't worry about me, because I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand and I'm going to let yours go. Because the final analysis is we're going to all stand before his judgment seat. And so as I was writing this lesson today, I couldn't help but to think about the life in which I live and how I try to do what I need to do for the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm pretty close.
Amen.
Amen. And somewhere down the line, church, either you believe this or you don't. Somewhere down the line, you strive to reach levels of perfection, or why even pretend? I don't know about you. When I was a sinner, it was pretty good. Amen. You look at me funny all you want to. But now that I have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, I try my utmost to do my very best for the Lord. And so when I think about who I am and what I really belong, who I really belong to, I can't help but to ask myself a question. Who do I really follow? Now, it's easy to say you follow the Lord. And even Jesus said, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And you know, in the world in which we live in, it's so easy to get caught up and wrapped up into the cares of this world.
Amen.
You can get so caught up in sickness that you forget who is the great physician.
Amen,
Walls. Sometimes you get so caught up in the cares of this world that you forget that your father owns the hills of 1,000 cattle.
Amen.
And he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you why. The world is mine. And he says, I belong to him, and my father owns the hills of 1,000 cattle. What should I worry about?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. What's the problem? Matthew chapter 6, if I would seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, Jesus has promised that he would add everything else unto me. That's why David, as he becomes an older man, and as he is being sought to be killed by Saul, as he is running from Saul and trying to live his life, that's why I understand what David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because David came to the conclusion that no matter what life holds, God still reigns supreme. And so as I was writing this lesson, I couldn't help but to think, 21 days. Am I going to end this year the way I started it? Doing nothing? Working for the Lord? Haphazard for the Lord? I'm talking to the wall. But if I'm down your street, how you doing? And as I wrote this lesson and was thinking, when God calls us into service, and each and every one of us has been called into service,
amen,
when you went in this water, you gave up your rights, amen, and you voluntarily said, I would accept. You know, that's one thing I never could understand about individuals when I entered the service. I raised my right hand and I said, I volunteer to defend the Constitution of the United States. And I need to go over here and kill some folks. Well, I'm a conscientious objector right at the moment. No. No, I was faithful to who had enlisted me. What's my point? You've all been enlisted into the army of the Lord.
Amen.
God expects us to go out here into this world. Some bombs are going to blow up. Some of us are going to get shot. Some of us are going to get killed. But the question is, you're going to get shot and blown up for the right reason or for the wrong reason? And I've made up my mind, I think I would rather get killed for the right reason.
Yeah.
So as I thought of this lesson in Matthew chapter 4, I couldn't help but to think of this word follow. And then I had to ask myself a question. I'll follow Jesus as long as I got a loaf of bread and pantry. As long as I got grits in the pantry and got a dollar or two in my pocket, I'll follow the Lord. But when the money gets funny and the change gets strange,
yes, sir. Yeah.
Am I going to hold to God's unchanging hand, or am I going to allow the world to dictate to me what life is all about? And so as I looked at this, I had to ask myself a question. Do I really follow the Lord? And if I really follow the Lord, how faithful am I to the Lord?
Amen.
You know? And only you can answer this. How faithful am I to the Lord? And if I'm faithful to the Lord, am I really obedient to Him? And if I'm really obedient to Him, am I learning what He requires of me? And if I'm learning what's required of me, do I allow Him to lead me the way He wants to lead me? There is a way that seems right unto a man. But the prophet says, those are the ways that lead to death. And am I really willing to lead Him? And if I'm really willing to let Him lead me, then I'm willing to obey everything He commands me to do. And when I learn how to really obey Him, guess what? Worship take on a whole new meaning. And I want to show you this morning, as we look at this text, that every child of God, you're going to have to ask yourself a question. Who do I really follow in 2016? 2017 is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids, don't follow me. You need to follow Jesus. I don't have a heaven or hell to send you to, but I know that if you follow Jesus, He'll prepare a way for you that I can't even begin. And I always tell them, I can only take you to the grave. I need somebody that can take me beyond the grave. And the only person I know that can do that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that in the day of judgment, I need Him to stand before His Father and say, Father, hold on. He belongs to me. And when God said, well, you know, He sinned, that's why you sent my blood. You know, when He's not faithful, that's why you sent my blood. See, I understand that when I stand before the judgment seat of God, if I've tried my best to do what He commands, I'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew chapter 4 is where I want to drop my hat for the next few minutes. I want to talk about following Jesus. And I want to show you that these boys understood who Jesus was. And when it was time to follow Jesus, they wasn't like you and I. You know, we get caught up in the drop of a hat, don't we?
Yes.
Amen, Walls. We'll forsake God at a moment's notice. But when all hell breaks loose, who's the first person you call on? You call on God. And why you call on Him? Huh? And if I was God, I wouldn't even answer you. But I'm glad I'm not God. And I'm glad because of His grace and His mercy that He answers us in a way. But I'm reminded of what the prophet said. God said, there's going to come a time when you'll pray to me, won't even hear you. When you fall into trials and tribulation, God said, I'm going to laugh at you. And you know when He's going to do that? When we turn our back on Him, don't be surprised of what God will allow to happen. Because my Bible also teaches me that when a man's ways please the Lord, He'll make his enemies be at peace.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 4, round about verse number 18. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. I want to read that same text out of the American standard. Verse 18 says, and Jesus said, was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon, whose name was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I want you to underline that, because it's important to know that when Jesus calls, you have one or two options. You either follow or you don't. Yep. Ain't no in between. And you know how we like in betweens, don't we?
Yeah.
We love some in betweens, huh? Yeah. Because if we didn't have in betweens, boy, we would really be a mess, wouldn't we? No. When you follow Jesus, it's one way or the other. Jesus said, I would that you were hot, cold. Amen. But since you're neither hot nor cold, would you like that middle ground? Jesus says, you make me sick and I will spew you out of my mouth. The Bible says they immediately left their nets and followed him. And I want you to underline that phrase there. Because if Jesus was to call you off of your job, how many of y'all going to leave? Huh? If he calls you to go visit the sick, how many of y'all going to leave? If he calls you to go and proclaim his message to a dying world, how many of us going to leave our jobs? This is powerful here, because the Bible says when he called them, they left their nets. You know, because sometimes we're so caught up in making a living, we forget how to live. Sometimes we're so busy trying to chase that dollar bill that we just don't understand that life is more than what you possess. If all life is having a car, a house, and a couple of dollars in my pocket, boy, where are the worms? Where are the worms? Because it's got to be more than that. Life is beautiful. Amen, Stan. Amen. It ain't that bad. And if you think it's that bad, I tell you what, die without him. And you'll find out how bad it really can be. The Bible says they left their nets immediately and followed him. Verse 21, going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with their father. They got a family business going on. Boy, ain't it good to have... Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. Work with me this morning. Boy, ain't nothing in the world like a family.
Yeah, man.
I know y'all don't get that. Family business is what it's all about. Amen. But... what happened in America? Didn't it used to be all about the family?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
I can remember 40 years ago. Ooh-wee, telling my age. I know you're saying I'm just a baby, but that's okay. But I can remember 40 years ago when it was about the family. Mm-hmm. Now, we might fuss and fight among ourselves, but you can't come in here and dictate anything. Because we'll stop fussing and fighting among ourselves and we'll turn it to you. Why? It was about the family. And the family was strong. And regardless of what transpired, the family remained steadfast because it was about the family. Amen. Satan came in and told us, it ain't about the family. It's about me, myself, and I. And so we want to know why families are going this way. We want to know why the families are not families anymore. Yesterday, one of the brothers, the elder from Hesperia, came by the office. And I've known him for a few years. And he told me, we just celebrated 66 years of marriage. 66 years. That's longer than I've been on the face of the earth. Yeah. But that just goes to show that when you put God where he belongs, in the family.
Yes. Amen.
Now, that he didn't say it was all peaches and cream. Now, he didn't go there. Mm-hmm. But what kept them together was the unity that comes from Christ Jesus and being in the family. I don't know how I got there, but that don't cost you nothing. But the Bible says, Jesus goes by, and there he sees James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father, mending their nets. They got a family business going on. They are out here making a livelihood. And they're not concerned about anything but catching some fish in those nets so they can sell that fish to make some money. But when Jesus shows up, he makes a change in everybody's life. And church, and I don't want you to miss this, because this shows us that where we're at as children of God. The Bible says in verse number 21, verse the latter part of 21, the Bible says they were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat, their father, and they followed him. Title of the lesson this morning, who you been following? You know, I don't want to be like the old dog that used to chase the cars. You ever seen a dog chase a car?
Yes.
Boy, he'll follow that car halfway down the road. Boy, and then another one come, he go that way. I don't want us to be like those dogs. Who do you really follow? And I want to show you that when we follow Jesus, it requires something in our everyday lives to follow him. Who are you really following? In this lesson text here, Jesus goes about the Sea of Galilee. And as he goes about the Sea of Galilee, he is choosing men to become his disciples. Some would say they're ordinary men, but I venture to say that these are men that know something about commitment, responsibility, integrity, and dedication. How do I know that? Because they're working. You know, when you go to work, you got to have a responsibility about yourself. These individuals understand what responsibility, dedication, and accountability really is. Why? Because they're in the nets. And they know that without their diligence in mending their nets, they will not be able to survive physically. But in this text here, Jesus comes along and he appeals to something more precious than their physical needs. He appeals to them about their soul salvation. And no doubt they knew something about him, because when he called them, there wasn't a question like you and I. You know, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we have meetings, you have to wrestle with yourself whether or not you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, when the first day of the week run around, oh man, I don't really feel like going, but I guess I go. He might not speak long. Amen. They did not wrestle with Jesus calling them. When he called them, the Bible says they left their nets immediately. They left the father in the boat. He was mending the net. How he gonna manage the boat by himself? Was that their concern? No. Their concern was to follow the man from Galilee. And the Bible said they did it immediately. They had a mindset. They had an attitude. And that mindset and that attitude was that when Jesus called, it was time to make a choice. And see, and this morning I want to encourage us. 21 days until this year is over with. I don't know what you've been doing this year, but God knows. I don't know your record, but guess what? God knows your record. And I want to encourage you and remind you that one day God's going to call into play your record. And he's going to ask the question in reference to your records. Have you followed me, or did you decide to let the cares of this world remove you from me? Jesus says many are called, but only a few are chosen. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 14. See, church, God has called us into service. He has called you and I, those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Those of us who have been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He has called you and I into service. What has he called us for? To seek and to save the lost. He requires you and I to be steadfast and unmovable in our relationship to him and to do the things that he commands us. In this text here, the boys showed me that they understood what responsibility was. They understood what dedication meant, and they understood what being obedient means. Just look at what the text says. The Bible says that Jesus went by the Sea of Galilee and called them. The Bible says, and immediately they left their nets and they followed him. He goes a little further and finds two other brothers with their father, and he calls them, and they lead the family business to follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is more important than the family business. Church, I want to encourage you. Ask yourself a question. Who do you really follow? See, because to follow Jesus, you got to be faithful.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God requires us to follow him in a way that it shows who we are really following. John chapter 8 and verse number 24. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, you shall die in your sins if you believe that I am not he. Church, I want to encourage us. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be faithful to him. And you know what happens when you're faithful to God? It brings about obedience. I don't know about you. First day of the week, roll around. You don't have to ask me. I don't need no alarm clock. Just like I don't need one Monday through Friday. Sometimes I sleep in on purpose. Hello. But
amen.
Amen. But when it's time to serve the Lord, I don't need you. Don't need my family. I know my responsibility. Why? Because my faithfulness is centered in what God has determined through his word. My obedience is a demonstration of my faithfulness. Jesus was the example of that. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I understand what obedience means. Obedience means that when it's time to do kingdom business, there's not no other business on the face of the earth that's that more important. And you know, I'm learning something about kingdom business. See, we think kingdom business come all dressed up. No, sometimes it comes smelling. Sometimes it comes with mental, you don't hear me this morning. Sometimes it comes not looking like me. It's not dressed like me. And I really don't want to be bothered with it.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that God sends us what we need. But most of the time, because we're not faithful to him, we're not obedient to him, we don't know what God is really doing. We talked about that a little bit this morning. God's providence. Do you not know that God works through us? And sometimes nobody will ever know it. But it's the demonstration that you show them.
Mm-hmm.
Told a guy the other day, somebody over by the word. He says, there's something different about you. I said, I preach. He said, I'd have never known that. But your character speaks for itself. Church, I don't know about you. That's all I got.
Amen.
It may not be the best as far as you're concerned. But I don't have to please you. Amen, Walt. Church, and I'm learning that when you're faithful to God, and you're obedient to God, guess what? You want to know all you can about the Lord.
Amen.
That's why 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to who?
God.
To God. Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. See, I've learned some things from God. I avoid foolish and unlearned questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? All they do is gender strife. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 16. Not only have I learned from the Lord, I let him lead me. Oh yeah, sometimes he leads me in places I don't really want to go. Oh yeah, sometimes he put these stumbling blocks in front of me that, boy, I say, Lord, do you know what you're doing? I know you do, but I got some questions. But I've learned that when I let go and let him lead me, he never has led me wrong.
Amen.
Amen. And church, somewhere down the line, you grow in this Christianity to where you understand that in the midst of following Jesus, the trials and tribulations you face, they can't even begin to compare to the glory you're going to receive on the other side. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and round about verse number 12. Take heed how you stand, lest ye fall. There's no temptation that has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. And I'm so glad that somebody is. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm glad God is faithful and remains faithful to what he said in motion. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. That's the God I serve. The God I serve have taught me to let me lead you, son. And when you let me lead you, he said, I'll make your enemies be at peace. I don't know who you serve. And that's why I understand what David says. Psalms division 23. Yeah, we always say this at a funeral. But I'm learning, church, that when God leads you, He leads you the way he wants you to go.
Amen.
The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, they are walked. He restores my soul. He leadeth me. He leadeth me.
Amen.
Who you following this morning? Because when he leads you, guess what? He takes away the lies from your tongue.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He takes away from you not being faithful to him. See, when he leads you, he'll teach you what you need to know.
Yes.
The psalmist said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because God's leading me.
Amen.
See, when God leads you, you're not worried about tomorrow. I don't know about you. I worry about very little.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I've learned that if I get out of the way, God will take care of everything else.
Amen.
I have not set my life up to be here forever because I already know that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave here.
Amen.
Guess what? Newsflash. So are you.
Amen.
And you might beat me out of here.
That's right.
And so I'm learning, church, that I'm going to let God lead me. Because even when he leads me through the valleys of the shadows of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Death, where is thy sting? See, death has no control over me. Because I'm letting him lead me. And even when he closes the eyes. Luke chapter 16, he'll dispatch his angels to take my soul to the other side. Boy, that's the God I serve. And that's what excites me and motivates me to know that if I follow him, I don't have to worry about following nobody else. You know, some of us follow anything.
Yeah.
You know, and some of us will fall off a meat wagon for a dollar. Amen. Church, I'm learning that in the midst of everything you follow, if you're not following the Lord, sooner or later, you will. Because John said, every knee is going to bow.
Amen.
Every tongue is going to confess. The Bible said here, the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you. I just don't come here just to come.
Amen.
I'm in the house. I'm in the ark of safety. And guess what? The only person that can take me out of there is me. And I've made up in my mind, Stan, I'm going to get out the way. Because I plan to make heaven my home. Not only do I allow him to lead me? I have learned how to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a hard thing there,
yeah,
to be obedient. Because see, the only way you're going to be obedient is you got to get out of the way.
Yes.
John chapter 14, John chapter 15. Jesus says, why would you call? Nope, that's not it. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why would you call me Lord, Lord? And do not the command things that I command you. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus says, you are my friend, if you do whatsoever I command you. See, when it comes to obedience, I understand my relationship. I understand my responsibility, my accountability. It's not to you, but it is to you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be the light in front of you. And guess what? You're supposed to be the light in front of me.
Amen.
Older saints are supposed to be the example, the epitome of this book.
Amen,
amen, Walls.
Amen.
You're supposed to be the ones that are helping to guide and direct our young folks. If our young folks are being lost, ask yourself a question. Who are you following? Because see, when you follow the Lord, it gives you the opportunity to teach the young folk. But how are you going to teach somebody how to love somebody when you can't love?
That's right.
Amen, Walls. How are you going to teach somebody how to be kind and generous and submissive when you won't be?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all quiet. I must be on the right nerve. I'm just talking about obedience. See, because obedience, and when you're really obedient to God, this right here, it takes on a whole new meaning. That's why when it's time to sing and praise the Lord, I'm on fire. Amen. I don't know about you. Amen. You know why? Because I understand my worship to him. Amen. Is going to help me Monday through Saturday. Amen. My worship to him on the first day of the week is going to remind me that he is the light and his light shines in me. Yes. See, my worship to God gives me a spirit about myself.
Yes.
So when it's time to turn the other cheek, I can turn it with a smile.
Yes.
Oh yeah. My worship to God brings me to a whole different level. That if you don't go, just sit where you are. I'll go on my own. Yeah. See, and that's what it's all about. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. The Bible says, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him how? Spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and round about verse number 15. Paul says, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. If anybody got the right to whoop and holler and be excited, it ought to be us.
Amen.
But boy, we're quieter than the roaches in the church house. And you know why we're quiet? Because we're in darkness. I remember I ain't always lived in a house that didn't have roaches. I don't know how I got here, but this won't cost you nothing. You ever notice something about a roach? As long as it's dark, boy, it is everywhere. We're like roaches. Turn on the light and what happened to Don't y'all miss that. Don't miss that. Church, we're the light. And if we're the light, we're supposed to make the difference. I don't know about you. I've inventoried 2016 in my life. Yes, I've looked at yours too. Huh? I don't have the right. Oh, yes, I do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3. The things that you've seen and heard and seen in me, the same commit thou to.
Faithful.
Huh? Huh? Who? What kind of men?
Faithful.
Why faithful men? Because they will teach others also. Church, I don't know about you. I've looked at where we've been, where we're at, and it's a sad commentary. Yeah, it is. Because there's some folks in the world that need us.
Yep.
But see, if you're so busy about you, God can't use you.
Amen.
And I want to encourage us as we look at this text. Don't miss these boys. Because these boys, when they were called into service, they did not realize, they did not look down the corridor of time that one of them would be crucified upside down. They didn't look down the corridor of time that a couple of them would be filleted like you fillet a fish. They didn't look down the corridor of time that when he would hang on that cross, they would be hiding in the house because they scared of what's going on. You know why? Because when Jesus is on board, he don't worry about nothing else. And all they could see was our Lord and Savior and his will to do his Father's will. Conclusion, church, I hope I've said something. Examine yourself, 21 days. Look at where you've come from. Look at where you're at. Raise yourself some questions. Am I really following the Lord? Or have I put him down to follow that other fella? And I'm going to tell you, that other fella knows how to dress this thing up. That other fella knows how to make it pretty, make it look good. And he has a way of getting us to follow him. If you don't believe us, just look at our forefathers. Did he not do Adam and Eve that way? Eve said, surely. He said, surely you won't die. The Bible says when she saw that it was good for the eyes and it had a good desire, she did exactly what God told her not to do.
Amen.
Church, I want to encourage you. Who do you really follow? This year is drawing rapidly to a close, and I want to encourage you. Follow Jesus.
Amen.
Understand what Jesus would have for you. As we look at the body of Christ at this locale, I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking right here.
Amen.
Ask ourselves some questions. When it's time to teach, are we like the prophet Isaiah chapter 6? Here am I, send me.
Amen.
When it's time to put your name on that bulletin board, and I know he put up a new list back there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good. Clean the building. I mean, this is just reasonable service. This is the least we ought to be able to do.
Amen.
But I want to encourage you as this year unfolds, starts to unfold, ask yourself a question. What can I do to enhance the kingdom of God? Am I following him? And if I'm going to follow him, Lord, create in me the mindset that comes from your word. Let me have the mind of Christ that I may do the things that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. These boys understood something about Jesus. So when Jesus comes on the scene, there's no question what's important. Yes, making a living, don't get me wrong, is important. And I hear you, if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. But Jesus said, life is not in the abundance of what one has. He says, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. These boys understood to follow Jesus means that it was time to follow him and forget about everything else. But I imagine if they were like us and were able to look down the corridor of time, they might even be like Peter. I don't know him. And go away cursing in the process. Amen. Church, I want to challenge you and invite you. Take an inventory this year. Ask yourself, am I really following the Lord according to his word? And if you're not, repent, start following. It's just that simple.
Amen.
And then as 2017 dawn upon us, if he happens to let us all see it, we need to raise some questions. How do we turn this valley upside down for the Lord? And we're going to do that one person at a time. But first and foremost, it's got to start with you. Hope I've said something just to encourage your heart, church. Want to encourage you and remind you that one day we're going to all stand before his judgment seat. And I don't know about you. I don't like courts. Huh? Oh, y'all do? Well, I tell a couple of my friends to write y'all a ticket for y'all though. No, I don't like courts. I don't want to stand before somebody that has a book in his hand and can judge me. I don't want to stand before one man. He ain't a man. He gonna judge me according to what I've written in the book. And if you haven't put nothing in the book, what you gonna get?
Nothing.
Nothing out of the book. I want to encourage you, have a good week. Lord, say the same. We'll see you back at 2:00. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as we stand and sing the song of the Lord.